Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Women's Soccer Zone, the week after the completion of the Women's World Cup out in Canada. And this is our take and our review of the World Cup. And I'm delighted to be joined by two people who were incredibly helpful while I was out in Canada helping cover our social media channels. Our Swedish correspondent, who also has a big interest in French football, Linda Eriksson, out in Sweden. Linda, you okay?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. And we're joined by Rachel Stack of ExtraTime.ie out in Ireland. Rachel, you okay?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to get new voices on the show, especially one from the lovely country that is Ireland. We'll dive straight in and look back at the final. It took place on Sunday in the early hours for all of us, being a midnight kickoff over here in the UK and Ireland, and 1 o'clock in the morning out in Europe. Very one-sided, Linda. I mean, could anyone have predicted how one-sided that first 15-20 minute period would be?
I definitely didn't. I was shocked already when they scored the first goal after just 3 minutes, and then 5 minutes, it was shocking. The Japanese defense did... I'm not sure what happened. I mean, they hadn't let in a goal for quite a few games, I think, before then. So it was, yeah, really surprising.
They conceded against England, didn't they, in the semi-final.
Yeah.
They conceded the Farrah Williams penalty, but you're right, they were pretty solid throughout. Rach, when you were watching it from Ireland, Carly Lloyd scores the fourth and 16 minutes from the halfway line. Does it become uncomfortable viewing for you, wondering how many this could end up being?
Yeah, definitely. Especially because it's like the pinnacle of the women's game. There's so many people watching it. It was kind of getting worrying how big a scoreline it was going to turn into. And it was shocking as well because, like, we've seen that the US were struggling to hit the back of the net. They had plenty of opportunities throughout the tournament, but they weren't just finishing them. And we all know as well that Japan are a very tidy team. They don't let that many goals in. So from a women's football supporters perspective, we were all kind of looking to say how many more is going to go in, and I was kind of frightened as well because it wasn't shown how good Japan normally are.
Yeah. I mean, we look at the goals that were scored. I mean, people will talk about Carly Lloyd's performance, and I spoke on another podcast at the weekend or just after the game and sort of said how dominant she was, but they made it very easy for her, didn't they? If you look at how she was able to ghost in from the edge of the box for both the first and the second goal.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got, I said, you know, Saki Kumagai is a world-class defender playing in that Japan defence. You know, they had players that were in some people's team of the tournament. Why do you think they got it so wrong, Linda?
I honestly don't know. I guess they weren't expecting it because the United States hadn't been scoring a lot of goals. They hadn't really been succeeding offensively. And then Lloyd, I mean, I would think she would be almost the player to watch during, you know, certain situations, and they just didn't have her covered at all. So I don't know, scouting gone wrong or someone just wasn't doing their job properly.
I mean, we can criticise the Japanese and criticise their defence, but Rach, do you think it was just a case of Jill Ellis got her tactics absolutely spot on?
I'd say Jill did get her tactics spot on. I think it was more of the desire to win the game, I suppose, from a US point of view. Like, they didn't want to be on top of that podium second again, and I think that really drove them on from the second that the whistle blew. Japan didn't even have a chance to settle or try to get into the game. The US were just dogging them straight away, and I think maybe they prepared a bit better because in all the other matches that the US played, they were very slow to start against Germany. Probably took them about 10 minutes before they actually started breaking down the play. But in this game, they actually started to be the better team from the front. And that was probably a tactic that they had as well, going to not let Japan get a bit comfortable on the ball.
How much do you think played to the US's advantage was the crowd, Linda? You know, it was very, very, very dominated by the US. Almost felt like a home game. when you've got that support behind you, that can sometimes give you that extra edge, can't it?
Yeah, it really did feel like it was a home game for the United States. The tournament might as well have been played in the States. And they already had that extreme will to win because they did lose in the final last time. So I think that plus the audience, there was no way they weren't going to win.
And what now do you think, Rach, for Japan? I mean, to lose so heavily in a final, to be so outplayed over 90 minutes. Yes, they had their mini spells where they got the goal back and then made it 4-2, which for a few minutes we thought it might be interesting before Tobin Heath added the fifth. How do they bounce back from a defeat like that on such a huge level and such a big game?
I think it was an achievement in itself, even for Japan to get to the final. Like, if you actually look at the results, they didn't do too well. Like, they got 1-0 victories against four debutants. And that unfortunate result against England obviously seen them through as well. But I think overall as a whole, I think Japan done well to get to the final. They already have a world championship now under their belt. I think they can only progress more as a team, especially since they were so heavily defeated in that final game. They'll want to come back the next time and they'll want to do better.
And they have a chance to do that in the Olympics in Rio next year, obviously, as well. The US will be defending their title. For the US, Linda, 16 years of having those 99ers being mentioned and shouted about, the likes of Julie Foudy and Brandi Chastain and Michelle Akers and the rest of them. People can now put that one to bed and they can talk about the team of 2015, can't they?
Yeah, they really can. That was an impressive win. I mean, I obviously haven't seen many World Cup finals, but that would have to be one of the most impressive ever.
We'll talk briefly, I think, you know, we could talk about the final all day, but we should probably talk briefly about the third place playoff that took place between England and Germany. Many probably expected Germany to win that one. There were a few people saying it's a third, fourth playoff game. No one will really care. But this was an old rivalry between two old enemies. And England, although Karen Bardsley had to have a very solid game in making some good saves, and although Germany did bring in a few of their youngsters to give them some experience, they have to be given credit, England, because if you look at most of the previews and most of the experts and most of the pundits, not many of them had England going past the quarterfinals. So something for them to build on.
Absolutely. I think going into the tournament, obviously, I didn't predict England would do well, and I don't think anyone else did either. But going into that third place game, England was kind of the team with the momentum. They had almost very closely lost their semi-final, while Germany had been, well, in the second half, they were outplayed by the United States, and they only very narrowly won against France. So they weren't quite looking like themselves during that game, while England was almost desperate to win. So I think England had the upper hand mentally in that game.
Rach, I was quite critical of Germany on another podcast that I went on after the weekend, saying I didn't actually think they had a great tournament. They kept on going on about the Germans being the top scorers in the tournament when they went into the semi-final against the US, but 16 of their goals had come against Ivory Coast and Thailand. They struggled. Yeah. They put four against a weak, underperforming Sweden team, and they struggled and got outplayed by the United States and by England. And I look back on it now and I think, I don't think they had a great tournament. So why did it go wrong for them? Because for a lot of people, they were the favourites, they're the number one ranked team in the world. Why did they fall short, do you think?
Yeah, that's one of the points I actually made at the start, the first game, when I think it was almost coming up to 10-0, that unfortunately the golden boot was going to go to someone who wasn't in a strong group. So say, for example, Golden Boot obviously went to Sassage. She had a fantastic tournament. But if you look at the likes of Group D that the United States were in, Carly Lloyd missed out on it, and they were in the group of death. And she missed out on it by a couple of minutes, you could say. I think because Germany had a weak group, I think it didn't prepare him for the next few stages. And I don't have a reason for why they fell short, because if you look at their squad, they have a lot of depth in it, between experience of winning the 2013 Euros. I just can't wrap my head around how they fell short.
And I should correct myself, they weren't outplayed by England, they were outplayed by France, weren't they, in their quarter-final. But from a personal perspective, I couldn't agree more. You know, Celia Sasic had a very good tournament, in the sense that she scored a lot of goals, but she obviously missed a very key penalty in that game against the US, which proved decisive, because they went up the other end and got a penalty. Granted, it shouldn't have been a penalty of their own, that obviously killed off the game before Kelly O'Hara managed to get the second. I'm struggling to put my finger on it as well. I think they were not as good as they have been in previous tournaments. I'm not sure why. Maybe there was an overconfidence potentially, but disappointing from the Germans. But from an England perspective, you can't be more delighted. I mean, it would have been nice to go through to that final, but to get through to the semis and be through to the quarterfinals. To the semi-finals, it was the semi-finals, I'm getting confused, through to the semi-finals, and then go out so late, and be so close to reaching a final. It's something for them to build on, and it's a shame that they won't be able to build on that at the Olympics next year, for political reasons and not for performance reasons. But they have to now look at Euro 2017, because they finished as the top European nation, which will be a surprise to most. But looking back at the tournament, opportunity for you guys to maybe pick out some highlights. I mean, if you were to look back at the whole tournament, what would you say was the kind of main talking point or the main highlight for you? I'll start with you. Let's go reverse. Let's start with you, Rach.
Highlight in terms of game or highlight of the tournament in general?
Both.
I think the biggest high from the tournament for me is the amount of media coverage. There was serious amount of content available online, where normally you turn on the Sky Sports News here, you're seeing where Wayne Rooney has gone on holidays this week or whatever. But when you turned it on, there was a ticker bar about the England women's team. There was updates every so often of player interviews. It was fantastic to actually have it by turning on the television rather than scouting different sites that we know has women's soccer news. In terms of the my favourite match of the tournament, sorry for saying, Linda, but Sweden versus Nigeria. I thought it was an excellent game. It was end to end. It was a reminder of the Olympic semi-final between the US and Canada. It could have gone either way, and it was an exciting match.
Yeah, well, I was in the stadium for that one, so it's difficult for me to disagree. I've got games that I particularly like. Linda, how about yourself?
I think I would say my highlight was, you know, there were 24 teams this time around, and some were maybe expecting large score lines with these new teams doing not so well. But I think most of them actually did impress. There were several debutants like Switzerland and the Netherlands, and I think Cameroon too, who progressed to the round of 16, even though it was their first tournament. So I think that was a positive thing to see. My favorite game was probably Germany versus France. I think, without a doubt, that was the best game during the tournament. It was very even and obviously decided by penalties.
Okay, I think my highlight would have to be, and it probably almost carries on from what you were saying about the 24 teams. I think it allowed nations who had players who'd never played in a World Cup before to show what they were capable of at the highest level. We got to see the likes of Veronica Boquet playing for Spain and Ramona Bachmann for Switzerland and Lara Dickenmann for Switzerland, who'd never ever had the opportunity to play at a major tournament or certainly play at a World Cup. I think giving those players the opportunity to perform at the highest level and on the biggest stage was something that was pleasing for me. People now know who Vero is and Ada Hegerberg is, and who these, you know, the young players as well, you know, the likes of Kadisha Buchanan for Canada and others who I can't even think of because there were so many. But for me, allowing those players to show what they can do on the biggest stage was a big positive. And in terms of game of the tournament, I have to go with Linda. Germany, France was just a brilliant game to watch. Two teams with contrasting styles. The way that Amandine Henry dominated the midfield was a joy to watch. And the wrong team went through, if we're being honest. You know, the stronger team of the two ended up going out. But if Gaëtan Tine puts away her chance at the end of extra time, then it's a totally different result. But unfortunately, she didn't. No one will know how she managed to miss that chance, but she did, and it cost France dearly. But in terms of, I guess, disappointments, what would you say was the most disappointing thing about the tournament? We'll reverse it again, Linda. And you can say Sweden if you want.
I have to correct myself. Earlier, I said the Germany versus France game was even, and I meant it was even. You know, the scoreline was even. Mm. Obviously, France dominated that game. Sweden was definitely a disappointment. They only played well against the United States. The other games were kind of disasters. So that was disappointing. But I think I was especially disappointed when France lost against Germany, because they did play so incredibly well. And to see Germany go through after that game of not performing, that was disappointing.
Rach, before I move on to you, Linda, why do you think Sweden was so disappointing? Because a lot of people had them as team to look out for. Many expected them to do a lot better than they did. Lotta Schelin, no one can really explain why Lotta had the quiet tournament that she did. Why do you think they were so under par and underperformed?
I don't know. I mean, Pia Sundhage has blamed the Swedish clubs for not releasing players for enough many days. You know, I saw the German coach, Sylvia Neid, she blamed the clubs as well and said, you know, they had only released the players 10 days early or whatever, and that was why they didn't make it further. And I think the Swedish clubs only released the players 5 days early. But that doesn't really explain anything. I think they were just... I don't know. Lotta Schelin had one shot, not even a shot on goal, just one shot during the entire tournament, and that's a big failure.
Okay. Rach, how about you? Disappointment of the tournament?
I have to agree with Linda. Most disappointed with Sweden. I was kind of rooting for them to actually finish on top Group D. I know I'm a big supporter of the US team, but after seeing the Algarve Cup, I thought that the US wouldn't do so well at group stage, and I thought Sweden might have snuck past them, but they were very disappointing.
Okay. I think disappointing for me, and I guess I'm not necessarily picking out teams or players in particular, but I think there were elements of the tournament while I was out there that were... I don't feel that FIFA really catered for supporters in certain areas. We saw and heard about how Vancouver had the fan park and had lots of things to do for supporters. But I was in Winnipeg for a week, and if you were an out-of-towner who didn't like women's soccer, you would not know that that World Cup was going on, because there was no advertising and there was no fan park and there was nothing to suggest that there was a major tournament going on, other than when you arrived at Winnipeg Airport and there were people holding up signs and there was a stand to try and give people information. And I was there for 5 days, 6 days, and in between the days where there were matches going on, there was very little for people to do. And I don't think FIFA and the local authorities did enough to cater for those football supporters who paid a lot of money to be there, who gave up their time, who gave up their leave from work to go and support their team. And it's not just about the matches, it's about having an experience at these tournaments. And I don't believe that people got that unless they were in Vancouver, or I've spoken to England fans who were out in Moncton. As far as I'm aware, that wasn't much better than Winnipeg either. So I think FIFA missed an opportunity off the pitch. I think what we saw on the pitch, the players did themselves justice and put in performances, but off the field, I'm not sure fans got the experience that they warranted with the money that they were spending and the time they were given up. So that was certainly a disappointment for me from the tournament. Team-wise, it's difficult to look past Sweden. Part of me was a little bit disappointed with Canada. I know they got to the quarterfinals, and I think that was a... I think that was about par for them, to be honest, because I look at that team and I don't believe it's the level that it was 2 years ago when they played at the Olympics. A few of the players are a little bit older. I don't think that they've got that forward line that can fire them to a major tournament win. They rely very heavily on Christine Sinclair. Not sure John Herdman necessarily got his team selections right. I spoke to Jess Fishlock and Rachel Causey at length about Lauren Sesselman and how she was put in a very difficult position. Certain other players, I'm not sure, were given the chances that they should have been. But yeah, Canada probably a little bit disappointing for me. Great hosts. Supporters were brilliant. Fans that I spoke to and local people I spoke to were brilliant. But just a little bit disappointing. I felt sorry for them because I thought they might be able to do a little bit better. In terms of trying to maybe put a team of the tournament together, I thought we could try and club together on this one. We know that Carly Lloyd was named player of the tournament. Do you guys have any disagreement with that?
No, not at all.
Great, neither do I, so that's that one solved. Young player was given to Kadisha Buchanan. I actually said on another podcast I would have given it to Ada Hegerberg, but I know Kadisha did have a very good tournament, so I don't know if you guys had any other names that you wanted to throw into the equation.
Those two were it. I thought it was extremely close. I did pick Buchanan myself when asked, but Hegerberg was equally as good, really.
Rach?
No, I would have picked Buchanan.
Okay. Golden Glove went to Hope Solo. I didn't agree with that one. I thought Hope had a magnificent defence in front of her, and we didn't mention that when we spoke about the US in the final, but that back four of Klingenberg, Johnston, Sauerbrunn and Krieger was an absolute rock. And I think if you look back, other than Emily Van Egmond and Sam Kerr in the first game against Australia, where Hope has had to make two magnificent saves, I don't remember having an awful lot to do. I don't remember having to make many saves. And for me, Nadine Angerer, when you look at how she played against France and how she played against the US, she, for me, was the best keeper in the tournament. And actually, I thought Lydia Williams from Australia did very well as well. And she was a name that hasn't been mentioned, but I thought she had a good tournament, despite missing the first game against the US. So I don't know if you guys had any views on the goalkeeper.
I had several names aside from Solo that I thought did better. Lydia Williams was one. I thought Ingrid Hjelmset, Norway's goalkeeper, did really well. The Costa Rican goalkeeper, Diaz, she did extremely well too. I think she had like a similar save percentage to Solo, but she made more saves in fewer games. There were a lot of goalkeepers that did really well this tournament.
Rach?
No, I would have picked Hope Solo. I know we can say she's a great backline, but I suppose it comes from her demanding as well and the positioning of her to move the players and to continuously be telling people man on and stuff like that. I think it comes down to a lot more than saves as well.
That's true.
No, I'll give you that. And actually, I do like what Linda said there. I think goalkeeping is one of the positions that comes under most scrutiny from people who don't necessarily like or don't have much of an interest in women's football. That's one of the areas that they really criticise. But I thought the standard of goalkeeping in the tournament was actually very good. And actually, I don't recall many huge clangers or errors. There probably were a few, but there certainly weren't many. If I'm struggling to think of one, so that probably suggests that there weren't any major ones. And I thought that, you know, that they did themselves justice and they put in some really good performances, and I think that's a really positive thing. So if we were going to try and pick a goalkeeper of the tournament to make up our team of the World Cup, who would we go with? Because I'm going with Nadine Angerer, so maybe we might want to make three teams here, because I don't think we're going to agree.
I might go with Lydia Williams.
I'm going to go with
Sola. Right. Okay, so back four. Who's your right back?
Krieger.
Yeah, maybe Krieger.
Okay. Right. You cannot have Ali Krieger, you two, when Lucy Bronze played the way that she did. So I am having Lucy Bronze as my right back.
Yeah, wasn't Krieger, it'd be bronze.
Bronze for me. Bronze for me. Plus the fact she was
snuck past her because she won it.
She did.
After missing the Olympics then as well.
Ali Krieger would have been my runner up, but Lucy Bronze was also nominated for the Golden Ball as well, so I'm going with her. Centre backs.
Sauerbrunn and Houghton.
Linda.
Sauerbrunn and. Thinking this is hard. Renard.
Okay. Well, I went for both the US ones. I went for Sauerbrunn and Johnston because I just think that they were both very, very good. And yes, Johnston had a couple of shaky moments where she had the penalty given away against Germany and the unfortunate own goal against Japan in the final, but I don't think she put a foot wrong other than that. So, who's your left back?
I'm just thinking here of Caitlin Ford. Is she left or right?
She was right, Steph Catley. Well, Caitlin Ford played left in the first game, but then Steph Catley was right, was left back in the rest of the tournament.
I'm thinking of her. I was watching the Australia and Brazil game and Marta didn't get a sniff of the ball off her.
You could have her at left back. She played a game at left back, but she played the majority of the tournament at right.
I'll take her, so.
Linda?
I'll go with Laura Bullough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I went Steph Catley. I thought she was excellent. I thought she had a brilliant game against Asisat Oshwala. She also played very well at centre-back, despite the fact that they lost the game against the US. I thought she dealt very well with the US front line. So far we've got Hope Solo, Lydia Williams and Nadine Angra as our goalkeepers. You guys have got Ali Krieger as your right-back. I've got Lucy Bronze. You've got... Steph Houghton and Wendy Renard. I've got Julie Johnston. We've all got Becky Sauerbrunn and Caitlin Ford, Laura Bellew and Steph Catley as left back. So who's your midfield? Holding midfielder? Do we all agree on Amadine Omri? Is it even worth debating that one?
Yeah.
Right, good stuff. And then midfield in front of her?
Carly Lloyd.
And?
It's a tough one. I like Farrah Williams as well.
Yeah.
Thought she had a fantastic tournament, especially with the penalties that she took. It takes a lot of courage to take them.
Good stuff. I had Aimee Yarmour as my other one. So,
I'll go with Aimee Yarmour instead of Farrah Williams.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tobin Heath.
Oh, no, sorry. We've got them, haven't we? We've got our three midfielders. Depends if you're playing 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. Let's go forwards. You could have Tobin Heath as a forward. So have Tobin Heath.
Well, then, can I have Megan Rapinoe as a forward?
Rapinoe's one of mine, so you can have her.
I can't wait to get this FIFA game in September. It's going to be interesting.
So I had Rapinoe, Sasic, and Lisa Devanna as my front three.
I'll have Sasic and Mittag.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Linda.
Sasic and Mittag?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, we do not agree on anything other than Becky Becky Sauerbrunn, Amadine Omri, and Carly Lloyd, and Celia Sasic are the four players that we agree on. Everything else is open for debate. So, it'll be interesting to see if any listeners want to throw any names in that
who's
didn't...
Who's our super sub?
Super sub?
I'm O'Hara.
Kelly O'Hara is your super sub?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can put her on anywhere in the field.
I thought Iwabuchi came off the bench and did very well for Japan.
Iwabuchi is who I was thinking of too, but I can't think of anyone else.
I'm going to go with Iwabuchi then. Iwabuchi is mine and Linda's super sub. Kelly O'Hara's is Rachel's. And if anyone listening would like to throw any other names in, then tweet them in our direction at @WozoZone, and we will happily say that you are wrong and that we are right. But that's by all means, tweet them in our direction, no problem. I mean, guys, I guess, you know, we'll round this up. We don't have to wait too long for another major tournament. We've got the Olympics in Rio next year. Definitely won't be the same teams because there's not as many, and we already know that England won't be there representing Team GB. But when you look ahead to the Olympics next year, What's your feelings in terms of teams that might do well? I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and when I look at some of the young players that are playing for France in this tournament, the likes of Claire Lavalger and players that didn't even get much of a look in, like Mbok Barty, and there are still players like Amandine Henry who will be the right side of 30 come next year. I'm looking at them as potential gold medal winners.
Yeah, I don't know about gold medal because of their history, but I do think they will want even more revenge. So I think they will do well and maybe play in the final.
Anyone else that kind of stands out? I mean, the US will no doubt want to.
Yeah.
They've won the last.
Germany should want revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweden will definitely want revenge if we get to play there.
What's the key thing for Sweden moving forward in terms of how they can improve on this World Cup? Because they were so disappointing. What's the key thing for them?
I think it's just to start working together. There's been quite a lot of controversy since they were eliminated. Clubs are very unhappy with Pia Sundhage. Many wanted her to resign. The players do want her to stay. So I think it's just a matter of Pia getting together with the clubs now and just starting to really work together and work towards the same goal and, you know, make the players feel that they have support from, you know, all around, not just the coach, I guess.
Rach, teams for the Olympics to look out for next year?
I'd have to say France. They were actually, I was expecting them to be in the World Cup final. I seen them in the Algarve and I just thought they were brilliant. They were a complete other level compared to other teams. I think they could have even won the Algarve Cup, but they made a few changes, and I think it was because they were holding their cards tight to the chest when they were playing the United States. But I think France is going to be the dominating team from Europe, certainly in the next 2 or 3 years. They have a lot of potential and they have a great league as well behind them.
Okay, brilliant.
And then also you have to mention Brazil. They didn't do that well during this World Cup, but they'll be on, you know, the tournament is being played in Brazil, so I think they will really work to make it to the top four at least.
Yeah, agree with that. I mentioned them on another podcast that I went on after the World Cup finished, and Marta will no doubt feel she's got a point to prove. She's still waiting for that elusive major tournament win, and obviously being on home soil, we've seen how dangerous they are. When they played the United States last year, they absolutely dominated the US when they beat them in Brazil last December, I think it was. So they will be a team to look out for. One thing I forgot to ask, in terms of our awards that we were given out, who do you think the best coach was at the World Cup?
I'd have to go with Sampson. I think he was very bold in his choices. Every game he rotated the squad. I've said it a few times now throughout. People would doubt England, and I said he knows his players inside out, and he knows what he can get from them, and he knows who plays what style of play best to pick the correct team for the opposition.
Linda?
I think I would have to agree. England were definitely the biggest surprise of this tournament, and he has done a lot of work in a very short amount of time.
Yep, I agree. Nothing to add. I think he made bold decisions. I was openly critical when he the team was announced against France. I thought he went too defensive in playing two left backs on the left hand side and was almost paying them a little bit too much respect, but boy did he get it right in the next few games and really lined up very well, brought in players like Jade Moore that many people probably wouldn't have known about, and I thought she had a fantastic tournament in midfield alongside Farrah Williams and Katie Chapman, who as a three offered something that was very different, so he deserves credit for that, and to take England to their best ever finish, that's something that he can be proud of. And as I said, shame they can't build on it at the Olympics next year, but Euro 2017 is certainly something that they should be aiming for. But that's it. That wraps up our World Cup coverage. We now move back to domestic football. The FA Women's Super League starts again this weekend. It won't be long before the Damallsvenskan is back with us. I think it might even be back this week. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Linda. It is. Yeah, the NWSL has ridiculously been going on during the World Cup, and I would imagine that not many people, unless they support those clubs, have been following it as closely as people normally would be. So that is something to look forward to as well, with some big fixtures coming up and US players returning to their clubs and international players returning to their clubs. And then obviously in August, September, we have leagues in Germany and France returning. So lots of football to come, and hopefully the World Cup will have generated a lot of interest for people who didn't necessarily have that interest beforehand. But Linda, Rach, thank you very much for joining me. Do you want to reel off details on how people can follow you on Twitter?
Okay, so people can follow me at wososone_Linda.
Yeah, people can follow me at Rachel_Stack_. And I have a funny spelling in my name. It's R-A-C-H-A-E-L. I have an extra A in Rachel.
Lovely, lovely. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining me. Remember that you can download the show on iTunes or listen to it online at audioboom.com/wososone. You can follow us on Twitter on @wosozone. And if you wish to email any abuse in my direction or any praise would be preferred, but abuse is always taken constructively. You can do so on wosozone@gmail.com. And we'll be back either next week or the week after. I'll bring you some interviews with some players, hopefully, that have represented their teams in the World Cup. And I will speak to you all very soon.
Women's Soccer Zone, following every kick of the World Cup in Canada.